Building, and Eero Saarinen's CBS Building, commissioned by legendary media executive Bill Paley. Just 2 weeks after arriving at the company, Eisner convened a meeting with Marty Sklar and Wing Chow, Disney's resident architect, as well as Kinsey, who was in charge of developing a master plan for the studio lot, which called for a new hotel on a small parcel along Riverside Drive in Burbank. "Let's make this a Mickey Mouse Hotel," Eisner suggested.
"You mean the name, the Mickey Mouse Hotel?" Sklar asked.
"No," Eisner replied. "Make it in the shape of Mickey, with rooms in the legs."
"Like the Colossus of Rhodes?" Chow asked.
"Yeah," Eisner said. "Straddling the street. That's what I'm talking about." At first, no one reacted. Had Eisner gone off the deep end? Then Chow pointed out that it would be difficult to run elevators up Mickey's outstretched legs. No hotel ever got built in Burbank, and they were never quite sure how serious Eisner was. But he had certainly succeeded in breaking the creative ice. No idea seemed too outrageous. Kinsey was impressed. He could see that Eisner and Wells were like right and left arms, one creative, impulsive, irreverent, the other measured, practical, decisive. At the behest of the Basses and Al Checky, a former executive at Marriott Corporation who moved to California both to advise Eisner and report to the Basses, Eisner met with Bill Marriott, the corporation's chairman, to discuss a partnership that would supplant the Tishman arrangement. Disney would retain ownership of new hotels, but Marriott would build and operate them in a joint venture. The idea made sense, given Disney's scant experience managing hotels. But when Eisner visited Marriott's design center, his spirits sank. Marriott's hotel designs were little better than Tishman's. Eisner couldn't imagine Marriott agreeing to anything even remotely like a Mickey Mouse hotel. Marriott's chief financial officer, Gary Wilson, also impressed Eisner, much as he'd been attracted almost immediately to Art Levitt. In the midst of what seemed a conservative corporate culture, Wilson stood out with his impeccably tailored suits, monogrammed shirts, and pocket handkerchiefs. In his early 40s, Wilson was refreshingly direct and self-confident and showed both a mastery of financial details and a lively imagination. Wilson also knew the old Disney culture. He and Bill Marriott had gone to Burbank to discuss a hotel deal with Card Walker, but were actually assessing Disney as a possible takeover target for Marriott. Even though Disney's own hotels, the Disneyland Hotel in Anaheim and Contemporary and Polynesian Resorts in Orlando, were booked to capacity and profitable, Walker had brushed aside their suggestion that Disney might want to build and operate more hotels.
"Disney is not in the hotel business," Walker maintained. "It's in the park business."
"Why is that?" Marriott asked. Walker seemed surprised by the question.
"That's the way we do things," he said.
Wilson had concluded that Disney was ripe for takeover, though Marriott's board ultimately decided that Disney was too big for Marriott to digest, and so no offer was made. Wilson disagreed. He and his staff had done some projections showing the dramatic effect on the bottom line of simply raising admission prices and expanding hotel capacity. Sid Bass had made the same point when Eisner flew to meet him in Fort Worth during his first week as chief executive. On the flight, Eisner insisted that Mike Bagnall, Disney's chief financial officer, take him line by line through Disney's last annual report and balance sheet. Eisner peppered him with questions, some of them embarrassingly elementary.